And ladies and gentlemen, we have Steve and Paul with us, the police officers, who, well, I'm not going to tell you, we're going to do something in the new year, but we'll talk about that again. And Paul Barber. Oh, my word.
That is the name.
How are you?
I am great. How are you after all these years? What was it, 1970?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest about this. I cannot tell a fib on this one. I was working at the Shakespeare, hosting it. Hair
before it burnt down.
Before it burnt down, the second time. Hair came to Liverpool. It was the most revolutionary piece of theatre in the world. The naked scene, you all came from under a sheet, and it went on just before the interval.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. I will not lie about this. I would put the axe on so I could run like hell down London Road into the Empire, backseat, watch them naked, and then run back and take the axe off the whole time you were down there. But what an exciting piece of theatre the hair
was.
It
was, wasn't it? Great.
How did you get that? Was that the first big job? Or?
Yeah, yeah. I was in Lewis's then, working in the basement, stocking the shelves.
And what made you go in to become an actor?
You know what? Just before then, before I got my job in Lewis's, I broke into a shop with my brother in London Road, and we got nicked.
So in other words, this arrest we're going to talk about tomorrow is actually a bit late, but it's a
it's
fact.
It's got nothing to do with that.
All right, then, go on. You're telling the story. Go on.
We got caught on the roof in London Road, opposite TJ Hughes's. Right. And we got sent to Risley for 2 weeks.
Right.
That was it. And then me and my brother, we went like, this is no good. We've been brought up in the care system and we're back in another institution, but we don't get, you know, 3 meals a day here. Wow. You know, so, so I said, right, well, I'm getting a job. Yeah. Got a job in Lewis's when I came out. And that was it.
But where did the aspiration of being an actor come from?
Oh, my brother's mate... he came over to Lewis's one day and said, do you want to come with us over to the Empire for an audition? And I said, well, what's an audition? He said, you've got to sing a song and then you get into show business. I said, oh, all right, you know.
Is it that easy?
It was that,
I
you know,
never
honestly.
Knew that.
No, honestly, we turned up a stage door. We took the afternoon off. I told my boss, I said, my mum's ill, you know, and we went over to the Empire stage door. And they were all coming out. They were on the way to Manchester, to the Palace, to do more auditions and stuff. And we said, is it all over? And they said, well, no, the pianist is still here, so you two guys, come on in. So my mate, he did his audition, and I didn't. I just watched from the side, and then he said, do you want to have a go? So I had a go, and I ended up getting it, and my mate didn't.
That's unbelievable, though. To be on tour in a major revolutionary musical, because it was.
Yeah.
Did you you were having a good time, but did you realise what you were involved with? How big this was? As a bigger deal it was?
Not really, no. I mean, you know, it was all new to me, showbiz, you know, London and everything else and the lights and everything else. But it was a job, basically, because I actually turned it down.
How come you came in it then?
Well, they rang me up and said, you know, and my mate came with me, you know, to the phone, and they said, oh, we want to offer you the part of Hood in the musical Hair and stuff. And I said, well, how did my mate get on? And they said, well, he didn't do too well, Paul, you know. And so I turned it down just because of my mate.
Because your mate.
But then I went like, yeah, and my mate used to live about 2 doors away from me in Selborne Street off Princess Avenue. And... So I went round to his house, you know, about a couple of hours later, you know, to see if we can go for a drink and all that. And his mum asked me how I got on. And I said, oh, I turned it down because, you know, Alvin's my mate and all that. She went, poof, he's not your mate and all that. shoved the shilling in my hand and said, get back on that phone and take that job, you know. So, yeah.
How long were you with her for?
I did the tour. I did 2 tours up and down England, and then went into Superstar in 1972.
Did you, when you were on tour, did you believe that it was happening? I mean, or did you think, oh, it's just a laugh, this? Or did you realise there was going to be a career in it?
Yes and no. I didn't know what I was going to do after when the tour finished. You know, because I had no real proper training, really. All I could do was sing and dance, and that was the, you know, it was a musical, so...
No.
I'd never done any proper training, drama training or anything else like that. But once I got into Superstar, then I decided to go and have private lessons and stuff like that, you know.
No. Just let me interrupt a second. Just say there's a picture of me and Paul up. Got to have a look at his hat. Have a look at his hat. I love his hat. It's City Talks website, City Talks Facebook, City Talks Twitter, and Pete City Price. So as we happen, there is a photograph of Paul up right now. Right now, do you pinch yourself thinking, oh, my word, my life has taken such a direction, and I've actually been, and I really mean this, I know you're a very modest man, you've been incredibly successful. You've been incredibly successful.
Yeah, I have, but I mean, I've tried to keep my feet on the ground, basically, you know, firmly on the ground.
Oh, you have, but you've done it anyway. Nobody around you, your family, you'd get a slap.
Absolutely, yeah.
Any shadow of a doubt, that comes over loud and clear.
Yeah, get a right old Gibbs on the back of the head, you know.
Now, what happened about an agent? Because I couldn't imagine you getting an agent all those years ago. What did, had somebody taken some money off you to get you a job?
Oh, yeah. Well, I did get an agent eventually. And I got my very first play for Today. I was in Superstar at the time, and then I went for an audition for a television play for Today. And there was another actress called Angela Bruce.
Right.
She played Councillor Murray in Only Fools and Horses. You know, she's about to get mugged, and then Batman and Robin come along and all that. So, and she'd already got a part in this play for Today.
Yeah.
And the director said, that's great, you know, all we want now is we want the leading man now. And she said, like, well, who are you looking for? And he said, like, well, I want a tall, half-caste guy with a Scouse accent and all that. And she went, oh, that's my mate Paul. He's in Superstar at the moment. So, I went along to Granada, Golden Square, Granada, and auditioned and that was it. I'd done my first TV as well, playing the lead. That was called Lucky, and it was filmed in Liverpool.
Interesting what you just said then. You just use a word I haven't heard for years, half-caste.
I know, I know.
Is it not mixed race now? Is that not politically correct?
I don't use it now, do you know what I mean? But it was at the time, you know, when Gordon must have said, you know, I want a young... Well, he obviously didn't say, I'm looking for a mixed race kid, you know.
Because in those days it was half-caste.
Yeah, exactly. So,
did you realise that, I mean, you're not a Brad Pitt-looking type guy.
No.
So did you realise that, did you think, well, hang on, can I play the lead love role? I'm trying to put this as nice as possible.
No, you go ahead. I can take it. I've been in it for so long now.
No, you know what I mean? Because you are a character actor now. You have some amazing, I mean, your portfolio of stuff is just quite staggering, isn't it?
It's all right. It's all right. I mean, I'm not, you know, people say, like, what's the best job you've done? You know, I get asked every so often, like, what's the best part you've ever played? And I've started to say to them, like, you know, I haven't done it yet. Basically, do you know what I mean? I haven't done it yet.
No, I think that's great because the next job is the next job, and it could be the best part. No, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. The movies, what did you feel like the first time you went into a movie?
Oh, the movies. What was my first one? Oh, it was Long Good Friday, wasn't it, with Hoskins? Oh, got me kit off again.
Yeah, I came out drained on that. You know, I was knackered watching that movie.
Yeah.
That was such a powerful movie.
Yeah.
And in its day, I mean, now, it's a pussycat compared to what's out.
Yeah.
But it is. It's held its own
all
along.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, because the first one I ever saw was Get Carter, wasn't it? The first British gangster. Well, you know, you've got your
Michael
Brighton
Caine.
Rock
and
all that, but the black and white ones and stuff. But
when I think of Get Carter, I always remember him having sex with the lady. He's in the rocking
chair. Oh, the landlady.
She's doing it down the phone, and he's quite cool. I always remember, I was trying to eat an ice cream at the time. I kept missing my mouth. It was going up my nose, and I was in a hell of a state. Hell of a state I was on. Hell of a state. But no, but that movie you were in was. Would you rather play a serious part or comedy?
I don't mind playing the serious parts, but I mean, you know, as you say, you know, the serious and serious, isn't there? And then there's tongue in cheek.
Anybody's phone? Any of the policemen's phone switched on? No, it was just then. I know yours are switched off, so that was great. So do you lead a showbiz lifestyle?
I try not to. No, I don't. I don't think so. No, no. Keep, you know.
But you did in Liverpool when you came up for Istanbul. It was fun, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. Fun. I had my hair put in braids and the red and white beads. I had my Bill Shankly T-shirt on, which I've got on today.
Again. You have washed it, haven't you?
I have washed it. It's clean today. Will you stop?
As long as you've washed it. Because that was about 4 months ago.
This is what you have to put up with. Do you know what I mean? I was dreading this interview.
Wasn't it great when you came out the cinema? Everybody wanted to shake your hand.
It was great, yeah. It was the first time I'd been to one of the, a premiere of a movie. I've been to one before, but that was in LA for the... what was that one for? Oh, Dead Man's Cards, which was filmed here in Liverpool. Yeah.
No, that was great. I was sort of sitting on the edge of my seat because you remember the stage play. Did you ever see the stage play?
Yes, I did.
So the poster was never used.
I know.
Just leave it at the poster.
But wait for the DVD.
I've heard.
Wait for the DVD, the extras.
I've heard they're going to put the poster on.
I'm sure. I hope they do.
Did you ever hear what happened at the Empire on the
night? I watched it.
Oh, right.
I watched it. I thought, wow, that is brilliant. The way he took it all in.
You've got to. What else can you say?
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
One of the guys who did the poster's mother rang up and said, we're awfully sorry.
I know, but...
It was a bit strong, the word.
It was a bit,
Pratt would have been quite nice.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
No,
I have my papers with you. No, sorry, I thought they were for me.
That's my show.
Sorry, I didn't.
You just ripped my show up. No. What about Fools and Horses?
Oh, Fools.
Classic.
Yeah.
That is a piece of television history.
Well, I've got nobody else to thank for that but John Sullivan, basically. No. I mean, him creating the character, like, you know. No. I thought I had to go in and speak Cockney, you know, when I first started, you know, my first episode. But Ray Butts said, no, be yourself.
Yeah. No, so, it was amazing. So what are you doing up here?
I'm just coming up to see some friends and stuff.
Why are you with police?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. They've been saying they're going to...
Arrest you?
Arrest me for... Lost tickets and
Let's
stuff.
Let's bring Steve in. What's
parking
going on?
Tickets
What's
and stuff.
What's going on? So this is one of the celebrities, is it?
This is one of our celebrities who's going to be getting locked up for good tomorrow.
Right, well, tell everybody what it's about.
Okay, so we're raising money for the Prince's Trust, which will go directly back to Merseyside young people to help them out. And Paul has kindly volunteered to be one of our detainees tomorrow. So he'll be getting arrested in Liverpool 1 if people are around and want to see it around 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Yeah, if I can run fast enough.
So you're going to, in Liverpool 1, it's going to happen?
Yes.
Oh, great. So get down there with your cameras at about 11 o'clock.
About 11 o'clock.
It's somewhere in Liverpool 1.
If you hang around the area between by John Lewis and the Apple Store around there,
sure... The Apple Store,
in the middle, right in the big square.
I'm sure you'll see Paul mooching about.
With
and you may
the
see
lit
a couple
up
of...
reindeer.
You may see some of us trying to catch him because apparently he's quite quick on his feet, he said.
I've seen him run. Yeah. So when you went into remand that time, that wasn't in prison, was it? So this is going to be your first time in prison?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's good because you're going to look back and think, you could have gone down that direction, couldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is quite frightening when you think of it. And it's great. It's a great accolade to people out there now who say, I've got nothing in my life. I just take drugs. I can't be bothered. I don't want to work. You have proved them wrong. You are not in any shape or form a stereotypical actor, stroke comic, stroke entertainer, and you have proved everybody wrong. And that story you told us about how you got the audition, and then I love the mother, this is Shilling, get on the phone again.
Yeah,
that proves everybody wrong.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it, Paul.
Yeah, Yeah. And that was, I was only 18 then, 19, 18, you know, so I've only just come out of the care system anyway.
Yeah.
And what happens with a lot of kids in the care system, you know, they're not given that sort of backing and they've not got a job to go to and all that. And I think that's what should happen to young kids who are deprived and or have been brought up in care and stuff like that. I think there should be opportunities for them as well, you know, to give them a something to look forward to.
I was adopted. I was one of the lucky ones. I could have been in the care system. I could have been in foster. I could have been anywhere. So I thank every single day of my life.
Yeah.
I thank God I was given away to a lovely lady.
Yeah.
The woman who gave me away, fine.
Yeah.
She did no favours for me except giving me away. So I could have been that person in care.
Yeah.
So I can relate completely, but thank goodness I wasn't in care.
Yeah.
When you're locked up, it's to raise money, isn't it? So it how is. Do they? What do they do to get him out of prison?
Well, we're going to try and keep it in as long as possible, as much as we can. So if people follow us, the hashtag LU4G is what we'll be running on Twitter. And obviously we'll be putting some posters, photos up throughout the day of Paul getting arrested and in the cells. And obviously the more people donate, then the longer Paul's going to stay with us.
Now, have you told him that there's a downside to this? If there's no money raised, I go in and spend the night in the cell with him. So, you know, that is an incentive to get a damn sight more money because he's not going to be happy about that.
Please donate, people. Yeah. Please donate. Please donate. I do not want to be locked up in a room with Pete Price. Please. Please. Especially, I'm begging you.
And it's nothing to do with anything you're thinking out there. It's to do with the fact I need somebody to walk me through the panto script.
Yes.
So it wasn't what you were thinking. So fingers up to the lot of you.
Yes, I'll help you with your lines.
Yes, thank you very much. Oh, no, you won't.
I will.
Have you ever done panto?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Smee.
Oh, you didn't.
With Russ Abbott.
Right, wow.
Yeah, I did it 2 years running. Wow. With first year with Russ Abbott and the second year with Paul Nicholas, who I started off in hair with.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was playing Jesus.
Jesus,
of course he was. Russ Abbott. Because the Black Abbots used to do the Shakespeare all the time.
Yeah.
And then Russ went on his own. And that's great. I didn't realise you'd done panto.
Well, when I came out of hair and all that, I got a job in Derby at a place called Talk of the Midlands.
Mm-hmm.
And the Black Abbots were on then.
Yeah.
You know, I was like stage manager then.
Did you sing? Are you a singer as well? I mean,
in hair.
Have you ever been?
And
yeah, but I remember that. But have you ever had a band or anything?
I was getting an a cappella. Yeah, we before I joined the in Liverpool.
Yeah.
Before I went for this audition, we were actually doing. We had an a cappella group called Soul Motion.
Wow.
And we were singing at the same time as the real thing.
Right.
If you know what I mean, but on the street corners doing the a cappella.
Vocal perfection. The
vocal
real thing.
Perfection.
Oh,
the real
I can't
thing.
Believe it. These two weren't born.
No.
You were barely.
I was. Yes, so we were singing with all those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you grow up in the music scene in Liverpool or were you back? Were you in London then? Living in London or were you here for the music
No, I started
scene?
Off singing in Liverpool.
Right.
With the because Alan Harden, who used to be in the Chants, he used to give us lessons. He lived opposite us in Selborne Street.
Another great band.
So yeah,
love the Chants.
Yeah.
So where are you based? Where do you live in England?
I live down in Clacton on Sea now.
Why Clacton? Any?
No.
The name doesn't.
It's nice, Clacton on Sea. Oh, it's
nice
all
place?
Right. It's nice.
How did you finish up in Clacton?
Well, it's by the sea, and I like to think I'm like,
so
I like to think I'm by
there?
The Mersey.
Is that the sea out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I like
Would
to
you ever think... move back to Liverpool? I know
I'd
you've
love
got all
to
your family
I'd love to move back to the Liverpool. I was just saying, and I'd love to have a place overlooking the Mersey.
Yeah. That's why I live on that side, because I look this way at the...
Oh, do you front. Live on the opposite
side? On the
other
side, yeah, always have done.
Oh, well, look out for a place for me, and I'll move in next door to you.
I couldn't think of anything nicer. I couldn't think of anything nicer.
Yeah, you know.
I think that would be fabulous.
Yeah.
I'd start some rumours. So, back to any other celebrities, Steve?
Yeah, we've got Phil Olivier.
Oh!
Who's over in Panto in Manchester this
year.
Yeah,
with Priscilla Presley.
Yes.
He's working with Priscilla Presley.
Priscilla Presley,
she's in pantomime in Manchester.
What's she playing?
The Wicked Queen.
The Wicked Queen.
A very small one.
Oh, right, okay.
She's not very tall, a very small one. Hi ho! No, she's not that small.
Does she go hi ho?
No, but she's not that small, but she's. Sorry, I missed the gag. Sorry.
Hi ho!
That went straight over my head. I am so sorry about that. So sorry about that. So, Philip Olivier.
Yeah, so he's only had one request, which is can he have his phone so we can do his dance rehearsal in the cell all night?
Right.
He needs to practice for that.
Yeah.
We've also got Samantha Giles, who plays Bernice in Emmerdale.
Mm-hmm.
So she's also going to be taking part tomorrow, and some really big companies around Merseyside as well. Yeah.
Now, remind everybody that this is not being wasting police time because they're all doing it free. Explain.
That's right. What's happened is it's an event we take part in every year, and all the police officers and police staff taking part are going to be doing it voluntary in their own time. We're going to run it overnight till the Saturday morning. So there's people on nights that are doing it voluntary. And the custody suite that we're using is no longer in use. So it's not going to affect any operational business for Merseyside Police.
Now, tell everybody how they can claim donate to this.
Okay, so we've got Just Given pages up and running. If you go to the hashtag LU4G, then obviously that'll lead you to Paul's site as well because he's got his own Just Given page. But there is a Just Given, obviously, for the whole event, which is justgiven.com/LU4G.
Now, tomorrow should be absolutely rammed in Liverpool because it's Black Friday. So it should be a really good day because it's the Friday. It's one of these Fridays where they drop the prices and it's like a thing before Christmas. So it should be rammed anyway. I hope it doesn't happen. It reminds me of an act that was on called Lester and Smart. Then you won't remember them. The reason I'm telling you this is it will come apparent. So one of them's in the audience and one of them's on stage and he's heckling him. And it's part of the act. But one of the gangsters who used to come on a Saturday night, nice gangsters, not drug barons, nice gangsters, proper gangsters, so she was shut up and F and F and F and shut up and F and F and F. And he went and knocked him out, knocked the act out. Because he was heckling. Now, the point I'm making is, I just had visions of you lot chasing him and some scallies going, hey, help Paul now, get him up. And you run away. And it's all knackered.
We had that same discussion before, actually, before we got here, didn't we? Saying what if everyone tries to save
you? You might be giving them a hand.
Yeah.
Say, oh, he's lousy. Just throw him in the back.
Or there'll be a riot. Oh, no. I can't even go down that road. I've just written the headlines for tomorrow. Oh, dear. Are you nervous about being locked up?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm thinking to myself, well, you know what? They've already got me dabs from all those years ago. And my book's shot.
A lot smaller. Your hands have grown a bit.
So I thought, yes.
I had a night.
It's a great course, you know what I mean?
I had a night in Walton Prison. We did a 2-week programme, which was an amazing programme. We went through the whole prison system and everything. And they locked me up. And all I remember was somebody shouting, you're going to be my bitch. Well, I've never been so scared.
It's scary. Yes.
And you know, they're all listening now because all of them listen to us. Everybody in Walton listens. Hi, lads. Frightening, that was. Frightening. Paul, I am so, so thrilled to see you. There's so much I want to ask you, but it's supposed to be a phone-in, and I just want to say, forget the phone-in. I won't ask you the question because you just said what was the best job. What was the best thing you were involved with? Let's put it that way. Of all the things you've been involved with, all the films and the plays and the musicals, what's the best thing?
All right, I enjoyed doing Long Good Friday with the Hoskins. I also enjoyed doing Fools and Horses with Roger, Trigger and everybody. Mm. And I loved doing my movies up here.
Yeah.
Me One Night in Istanbul, me Dead Man's Cards, 51st State even.
Yeah, and of course, One Night in Istanbul was a classic part for you, wasn't it? It was a big, big part.
Yeah. Tom and Jerry, isn't it? I mean, you know.
Yeah. Did you enjoy filming in Istanbul? I think
it was great. Yeah.
Did you have any problems over there? Because
No, I didn't. No, it was great in Istanbul.
Did people realise what was going on, or they're just nosy? Just sort of asking.
No, well, some guy came up to me while we were filming, a couple, and his Scouse accent, he went like, "What are you filming there, la?" Mm. And I went like, we're doing this film one night in Istanbul. I said, and, you know, then that got me going. I said, "What part of Liverpool are you from?" He went, "Newcastle."
So, is it embarrassing taking your kit off all the time?
Oh, they. It's got it in my contract now, you know. I'm not doing any more movies.
You're not doing
unless
anymore.
I get my kit
You've
off.
You've got to take your kit off.
I mean, everything I've been in, I've had my kit off, haven't I? Long Good Friday, Hair.
Yep.
Full Monty.
Yep.
What else?
I mean,
Gangsters.
The boys have brought you over, and it just says here he will get his kit off.
Will I?
It's in the contract. Oh, did you know there wasn't a contract?
Am I going to get strip searched?
It's mandatory.
You don't behave yourself in the cell, that's when I come in. Now, you mentioned Full Monty. It's just been on tour. Lewis Emmerich's been in it.
Oh, yes. Hey, Gary, did you know Louis and I have both got the same nephew?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Now work that one out.
Well, we did Panto last year together. We did. He was Captain Hook, and I was a camp pirate. They wouldn't let me be Smee.
I was
just a camp pirate who had eyes for the captain. What is going on? Just everything gets me down.
Well, when I did it with Russ Abbott, because he was great. He used to I used to have to go to his dressing room at the end of the show to work out new gags for the next show and stuff like that, for the next day and stuff like that. But one of his first gags was he wanted me to come on stage, you know, as Smee and everything, and I'd be talking to the captain and everything. And he said, "So what made you want to become an..." And I'd go like, "Oh, well, you know, I've always wanted to run up and down the hills and sing me heart out and all that sort of business, you know, across the moors and everything else." And he'd go, the full Bronte, eh? Do you know what I mean? He'd be working out gags like that.
Yeah, well, he can't stop himself.
No,
he can't stop himself. I was talking to him recently, and he just still can't get over the fact he was in Only Fools and Last of the Summer Wine.
Oh, you know
which, of course, Lewis went in.
Yeah,
Lewis
went
in. Yeah, because another classic piece of Danny.
I love that, and I've always said to myself, when you get a bit sort of tired and old and all that.
They might bring it back.
I want to spend my days in some of that.
To finish off, Steve, once again, tell us everybody what it's about. You spent time with us tonight, which I appreciate.
Oh no, it's fantastic. Thanks for having us on. And thanks to Paul. He's an absolute great participant.
Fun.
Absolutely fantastic. That he's come all the way up to do this event for us in Liverpool. And he obviously knows about the cause and knows how important it is. So we're going to
remind everybody what the cause is.
It's the Prince's Trust, and in particular, it's the Fairbridge programme, which essentially the money that we raise goes directly back into Merseyside. And it's young people within the Merseyside area that are marginalised and had problem upbringings, I suppose the best way to describe it, and that may be going off the rails and other issues. And this programme aims to give them opportunities to re-engage with community and get their lives back on track. So really, really important, really close to ourselves and Merseyside Police. And we work with them all the time. So tomorrow we're going to be locking up a host of people, Paul being one of them, a couple of other celebs and other big businesses like Arriva, Ripstone, Bibby and South Liverpool Homes. Hilton's coming in.
Solicitors.
Hill Dickinson, solicitors.
Oh,
so,
Hill Dickinson,
they always support the police on this.
Yeah.
Always.
Absolutely.
Well, they're
fantastic.
The ones that do the cavern, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Do the cavern?
Yeah, they every year they do
invite
new bands to come and play at the cavern.
That's right, yeah. I was trying to think what they were doing then. I was going to say, I don't remember that. Yeah. But now I know what you're talking about. Right, go on.
So, as I say, lots of people taking part. We've even got Camelades involved now. And they're basically nominated all the bosses, along with our celebs as well, that are going to be partaking. We're going to lock them up. They're going to be put in the custody suite, go through the whole procedure, and they're going to be staying with us as long as we're raising money for the cause.
Are they all going to be locked up together in different cells?
They're all in different cells, but they may cross paths in the corridor and going to and from interview and getting fingerprints. So, Paul's obviously...
Yeah, any balls and chain?
I think there'll be a couple knocking about in there, definitely, yeah. And obviously, it's funny you mentioned Paul and his fetish with the clothes, because that's actually what we're going to be bringing him in for. outraging public decency.
Not flashing.
Not flashing. He's not quite there yet, but seeing as he's in every contract for every piece of work, he does as he said now.
That's what it is. So 11 o'clock tomorrow.
11 yeah. o'clock.
Where are you getting Philip Olivier? Can we ask, or do you not know yet?
Yeah, yeah. Philip's going to be coming up in later on in the evening. He's obviously in Panto. Yeah. So he's coming back in at around 7:30, and he'll actually be coming into Highton train station. Is where we're gonna catch him out.
Wow.
He's not too sure but we know that we've found out that's where he gets off. He's a willing participant. Yeah. Yeah. He'll be coming back from his panto rehearsals, and he'll be getting met by a waiting police van.
It was interesting because I got arrested outside. They brought a yellow van up and arrested me outside, and then took me out. And it was horrendous. Then I was arrested at Aintree Racecourse, and I was arrested at Ascot, but they were two different arrests.
You get around then.
I get around, yes. I have to. Paul Barber, I cannot thank you enough. Anytime you're in Liverpool, come and see us.
I love you loads, Pete
Price.
You're
a talented, talented man, a modest man, and I cannot believe the catalogue you have got.
Have you still got my flower? I gave you a flower.
When I came out of
when I was a hippie.
Oh, that one.
On stage, in hair.
I could have swore it was your phone number. Have a great day tomorrow. I'm taking a break.